It's good to be back. Last weekend we took a pile of kids out to Thetis Island, to Cape Maria. We took 61 youth with Youth for Christ. So I need energy.
Yeah.
Because I am still recovering. It's taken me all week and I still felt pretty tired. Because then we went right through the week into Friday with youth again. I was like, what? I just saw you kids.
Oh, yes.
I just saw you. But we had a great time out there. Like I said, a pile of kids, 61 kids. Most of those kids were unchurched, which was super cool.
Yeah.
So we had some adventures. There may have been some pot smoking on the first night, for sure. Second night, we may have had a fight between groups of girls, which was super exciting. But in the middle of all of that, God showed up, and we got to tell these kids about who Jesus is. We did the I Am statements, so we got to tell them who Jesus can be for them. And it was amazing, and we had kids that were responding and putting their hands up and going, yes, I want to say yes to Jesus. And so that was super cool. And I didn't have to go into the water because it was cold. They did, I didn't, because I'm a leader, and I said no. So it's good to be back, for sure. And so last week, we started this new series, The Ripple, The Ripple Effect. And so Pastor Chris introduced this last week, and it was about seeds, sowing your seeds, seeds of faith, how there's planting of seeds, how we can be that seed of faith. And it was a great message. I had the chance to listen to it online, and we did our city group last week as well, and we were able to walk through some of that stuff. And so that's kind of where we started, this idea of these seed faiths and what that looks like for a ripple effect.
That's good, yeah.
And through that, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be exploring, even this morning, as you can see it, the fancy, my name's up there, that's cool. I edited that. I almost didn't put my name on there. And then I thought, I'll be real humble. I'm just going to put my name in all lowercase. Follow your notes, Claudio. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about moments of impact this morning.
Yes.
Moment of impacts. And through this series, what we want to do is we want to explore who we are called to be as the church.
Yeah, that's good.
And not just City Light Church. Like, yes, City Light Church here this morning for us. But not just City Light Church, and not just Beloved Church, and not just Coastline Church, and not just West Village Church, but the church.
Yeah.
Like Big C Church.
Yeah.
Like Big Picture C Church. We want to start exploring who we're supposed to be. Who are we called out to be? How big of an impact can the church make in the world when we partner with God with irrational generosity? How big of an impact can we make as the church when we get to partner with God?
Yes.
Isn't that cool that we have that opportunity?
Yes.
And it's important to know why we exist. What is our identity? What is our purpose?
Yeah.
Can I? Whoa. Oh. Listen. Help me, Jesus. It'll work. I will win this battle. My dad has this saying in his super English, broken English. I think I've said it from here before. A not alive thing cannot beat a live thing.
Yeah.
That means an inanimate object's not going to beat me. I'm smarter than this little piece of plastic. I will win. Why do we exist? Why does City Light exist? Yeah. Who knows our vision statement and our mission statement?
Yeah.
Pop quiz. Right now. Sandra, let's hear it nice and loud for us.
Oh. You exist to make disciples.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all I remember. But it's close.
Our vision is this. We exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time.
Yeah.
If you're taking notes, write it down. You should probably know that.
Yeah.
We should. Some of us came up with it. Well, Jesus downloaded it to us. We exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. That is our vision at City Light Church. Our mission is this. We will create biblical disciples in relational environments. We will create biblical disciples in relational environments. Do you know what those statements actually describe? Hey, online, how are you guys doing this morning? We're doing well here. What those two statements actually describe is this. They actually describe moments of impact. That's what those two vision and mission statements describe. We exist to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time, and we will create biblical disciples in relational environments, describes moments of impact.
Yeah.
That's literally what we're saying is what we exist for at City Light.
Yeah.
We exist for moments of impact.
Yes.
What we're talking about when we say moments of impact is we're talking about seizing that moment to sow the seed. And last week what we learned was that one of our wins as the church, one of our wins as Jesus followers, is that we combat small thinking. Mm-hmm. That's one of our wins.
Yeah.
And Pastor Chris, he was teaching last week, and he was saying, hey, you know what? We have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. So one of our wins as the church is that we combat small thinking. We're like, small thinking, get out of the way. Mm. You're going to get out of the way so big things can happen. So a moment of impact can take place.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
And the beauty is that we can't measure God's unlimited power through our limited expectations, because that's what we do.
Yes. Yeah.
We're small-minded in that. Mm. We're not big picture. We put a cap on it because we want to play it safe.
Right.
Or we don't want to be hurt. Or we don't want to be disappointed. Or whatever it is that's led us to this place where we're like, hey, we're going to just play it safe all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that can get right out of the way because we can't measure God's unlimited power. It's far too much. It's far too big. Our imaginations aren't even big enough to capture it.
Yeah,
that's good. So a big part of our mission is to make a difference. To make a difference. One moment in history, one moment of time can change the course of history. One moment. The entire course of history. Whether we're talking like global scale change, or whether we're talking like in someone's personal faith journey. Like if we're looking at like global change, like 1989, 1990, the invention of the World Wide Web. It changed the world. Actually, I learned this week that the World Wide Web, WWW, is actually not the internet. I did some study. Sometimes I do that when I prep sermons. And I realized, hey, those are two different things. The World Wide Web is actually where you can see pages that you're looking at when you're on the internet. The internet is how you can see those pages. So when you're like on your like Instagram, checking out my super fire awesome Instagram. Are you guys doing that? No one's following my Instagram?
Yeah.
Are you following my?
No.
That's cold, man. Like you didn't even hesitate. I might be done. Yeah. I don't know where to go from now. The World Wide Web, it changed everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
One moment in time.
Yeah.
Or it can change something in someone's personal life faith journey. Like these kids that were with us on the weekend. Yeah, they made some pretty stupid choices, like vaping and smoking dope in the staff lodge. Wasn't the best choice for the first night. It really wasn't. I was like, whoa, like there's all this nature. You could have gone and done that anywhere. You chose like the staff lodge. But at the same time, we had some of those kids hearing truth.
Yeah.
And hearing that Jesus is the bread of life and he sustains.
Yes,
and that Jesus is the light in the darkness.
Yeah.
And that Jesus is the good shepherd that's going to walk alongside of them. And what happened was is that we had kids respond and say, yes,
yeah.
I'm going to say yes to Jesus. There's 61 of us here. I'm going to be brave and I'm going to put my hand up. And it was one moment. One moment in time changed their history. I believe it changes their history.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may still only just be starting their journey, and they may not get it all figured out. They may still throw punches once in a while. They may still think that they can go smoke their vape and their dope. But what's happened is there's been a moment of impact in those kids' lives.
Yeah.
And you can't take that away.
Yeah,
it's good. It's there now.
Yeah.
And no matter where they go on their faith journey, that truth has been planted.
Amen.
One moment in history can change everything. Slide 3 for me.
Thanks, Lord.
A single seed can grow into something with a greater impact than we can ever imagine.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
I have a pretty good imagination from all the science fiction books that I read. Heidi loves my science fiction books. She loves that I read books about spiders flying rocket ships. So I have a pretty good imagination. But a single seed can grow into something with a greater impact than I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I have some ideas for these kids that put their hands up on the weekend. I have some ideas as to how I think their life is going to look. And I'm sure I'm not even close.
Yeah.
I'm sure that God has something even greater for them than I can imagine. I'm just going, hey, just don't vape.
Because
it's stupid. And you're going to die from it. God's going, oh no, I have an eternal plan. It's not even about the vaping. It's about eternity with this kid.
Yeah.
A single seed can do that.
Yeah.
I want to give you a word picture for that. Imagine that you have a stone in your hand and you're standing at a lake and you take that stone and you toss it in. We all know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw it way out there as far as you can. And that stone lands in the water. And what happens? A ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that one ripple effect, you can stand there and it'll go a long way.
Yeah.
Like, it'll keep going and expanding and expanding. And it, one stone can make a huge ripple effect.
Yeah.
Now imagine this. Imagine you've got a handful of stones and you toss them out.
Yeah.
And they're all hitting the water. Now you've got multiple ripple effects happening. You got ripple effects here, you got ripple effects there, and over here, wherever those stones have landed, and they're spreading out and they're actually crashing into each other, creating more ripple effects.
Yeah, that's good.
And more of that surface of that lake has been affected by that handful of stones that you've cast out.
Yeah.
Where they're just crashing into each other, and it's like, oh, now this is happening, and now this is happening, and now this is happening. Now, with that word picture, ask yourself this. What could that look like for the church? How big of a ripple effect could the church make on your family and on your street and on your in your neighborhood and in your city and on until we get to the world? The world!
Yeah.
And you might be going, wait a minute. The world?
Yeah.
Really, Claudio? That's pretty big. Like, that sounds like a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sounds like it's, like, I can talk to my neighbor. And I can handle being next to my neighbor and sharing life and sharing Jesus with my neighbor. But the world?
Yeah.
Come on, Claudio. Really? Yeah, the world.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm saying yes to the world. You know why? Because we can't let small thinking rule.
Yeah.
We can't do it.
It's
we can't look at the world and feel overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't measure God's unlimited power through our limited expectations.
Yeah, that's good.
We can't do it. So then, how do we get ourselves into position for those moments of impact? Because we got to get ourselves into that spot. Slide 4 for me. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wisest sometimes go hungry. And the skillful aren't necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It's all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. And I'm going to be honest, when I read this scripture, when I read the first part of that scripture, I'm like, yikes, that's not super encouraging. The fastest doesn't win. The strongest? The smartest? I'm supposed to be up here encouraging you this morning. And this is what we're reading. You might be sitting there going, doesn't it say on the Facebook post Claudio's coming with an encouraging message this morning? Because you might be missing the mark, Claudio. You might be missing it a little bit. Jeepers, what are you doing? Thanks for nothing. The smartest, the strongest? What chance do I have? Yeah. But wait.
Let's
take a look at the end of that verse again. By being in the right place at the right time. The right place at the right time. So there's more to this moment of impact than just chance. And because we have a God whose economy isn't the same as ours, what he does is he takes our thinking and he turns it upside down. And now we can look at the scripture again. And we're like, oh, now I can see it for the encouragement it's meant to be. Maybe I'm not the fastest. Maybe I'm not the strongest. Maybe I'm not the wisest or the most educated. But you're telling me that there's a chance? That there's an opportunity? That there's a divine setup for me to participate in a ripple effect? God has set that up? Because if you're telling me there's a chance, I need that. I need a chance when it comes to the eternal and the spiritual things. But here's the truth. We have more than a chance. Slide 5 for me, please. Do you know why we have more than just a chance? Because God is the author of time and space. What?
Thanks, Lord.
He's massive. God is the author of time and space. He places us in those right time, right place moments. Those moments of impact.
Thanks, Jesus.
That's more than just a chance. He's outside of our time and space. I remember way back when we were in Calgary, Peggy and I, we had a foster son that lived with us for a time. Neil, I love Neil. Neil was amazing. Sudanese kid, probably about 3 feet taller than me. Just a beautiful kid. We have a family picture with him. I laugh every time people come over to our house because we have a family picture. And there's us, all about like 5 foot nothing. And then there's Neil standing behind us with this wingspan. And his arms are all around us. And he's smiling. He's just smiling. And I never say anything. People come over to our place and I don't say anything. And I see them walk over to that wall where we have all our baby pictures and all that. And they'll look. But most people are afraid to ask. And I know it's killing them because they want to know, what's going on with this picture? It's not the same as all the other pictures. And so we had Neil. And Neil, I met Neil at one of my youth, at my youth group that I ran. And he was a foster kid in the system and he would come to our youth group. And so we ended up fostering him at our place for some time. And one day we had this conversation about time and space and how God can be that. And so at our place in Calgary, we had engineered laminate flooring. And I said, oh, here, let me paint a picture so that you understand how God can be outside of time and space. And so we laid down on the floor and we put our chins on our hands and we laid down as flat as we could and we looked out. And we had all, our floor was made of all these planks. And we laid down and I said, okay, Neil, what do you see? He said, well, I can only see about this much in front of me. I just see the beginning of the plank. I can't see nothing else. I said, that's our perspective. This is how we look at time. This is how we look at space. This is how we even try to put God into this perspective. I said, now stand up, Neil. And he stands up, being as tall as he is. I go, now look down. I go, what do you see? He goes, I see the whole floor.
Yeah.
I see the beginning and the end of each plant.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I said, that's God.
Yeah.
That's God's perspective. He is the one that can do all the things because he is the author of time and space.
Yes, that's good.
And so the author of time and space, he offers us more than just a chance at moments of impact. It's more than just a toss of the dice. Dice or die?
Yeah.
Die? Dice, I never know. English isn't my first language. He offers us more than just that toss of the dice, the flip of the coin.
Yeah.
What he does is that he sets up divine setups.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lord.
His setups are divine. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And when we start talking about this kind of stuff, and we start talking about these moments of impact, or stories, where all of a sudden we see that God's shown up here, or God has set this time up here, and you've met the right person at the right time, or you've said the right word, or so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you hear all these stories, and a lot of people sit there and go, yeah, I've heard all those stories. I hear your stories all the time, Claudio, your Youth for Christ stories. I hear them. But that never happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard all the stories of all the moments, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Those stories are for someone else. Those stories are for the people that have been in church longer.
Mm-hmm.
Or those stories are for the person that's a leader within the church. Those stories are for the ones that are like true veteran Christians, Jesus followers. I've never even found myself in the right time, in the right place moment once. I'm going to challenge you on that this morning. The challenge is this. Everyone has access to divine opportunity. There's no reason, and I'm going to be so bold as to say, there is no excuse.
Yeah,
for you to say, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Because now you've put a cap on what God can do.
Yeah.
Now you've decided what God can do through you. So the challenge is this. What if you haven't even been looking for them?
Mm.
What if you didn't have eyes to see? What if you didn't even know where to look? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's not that you didn't want to look. You just didn't even know where to look. What if they've been there all along? All around you? The whole time? And you're sitting there going, yeah, those moments just never happened to me. Claudio told me this story here, and then Pastor Chris told me that story there. Then Nick told me this story over here. And they're wonderful, beautiful God moment stories. They are moments of impact stories, stories of being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
But it never happens to me. But I want one.
Yes.
I want one of those stories. But you haven't even been looking. So where do we look? Well, what is the key to find the right place, right time, moment? Slide 7 for me, please. Here's somewhere where we can look. We can look to where God is already working and to what God is already doing.
That's good.
Because we know this. We know that God is always working. Look to where God is already working and what he's already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Slide 8 for me. John 5:17, Jesus says this, my Father is always working and so am I. So what's happening here, so that you have some context for this scripture, is Jesus is having a go with the Pharisees in this moment, like the religious leaders. They're actually super mad at him right now. They're mad at him because he healed a crippled man, a man that had been lame. And they're like, hey, you can't heal this guy. Not today. What are you thinking? You're walking around, you're healing guys, you can't do that today. Don't you know what today is? It's the Sabbath. It's the wrong day. It's the wrong day to do this kind of thing. What are you thinking? They don't even care that Jesus has healed this man. They're just telling Jesus this. Hey, you got the wrong time and you got the wrong place. Can you imagine? Hey, Jesus, you can't do that. It's the wrong time and the wrong place. And so Jesus says, my Father is always working. And so am I. My Father is always setting up the ripple effect. Moments of impact are always available. There's no wrong day and wrong time. There's no wrong place. Because my Father is always setting them up. God is working all around us all the time. And then what Jesus does is he continues to download some truth on these Pharisees. If you go to slide 9 for me, we can look at verse 19. And Jesus says this. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. He does only what? What he sees the Father doing. And then the Son does the same thing. A key to finding the right place, right time moments is to look where God is already working.
Yeah.
And what he's already doing.
Yes, so
when we can see where God is moving and what God is blessing, that's where we need to be.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there this morning and you're going, those stories have never happened for me, I'll tell you this, where God is moving and what God is blessing, that's where you need to be.
It's so good.
It's the truth. The right time and the right place. See, when we join what God is doing by sowing ourselves and our resources and everything about us, if we sow ourselves into that, then you know what happens? God multiplies it.
Amen.
He doesn't just add to it.
Yeah.
He multiplies it.
Yeah.
More than you can imagine, we get to experience a moment of impact. A ripple effect when we seek and when we watch and when we listen for what the Holy Spirit is already doing.
Yeah.
And this might actually sound a little overwhelming to some. You're like, oh, this sounds like too much for me, Claudio. Like, I'm not capable of all of that. Because I'm not the fastest. And I'm not the strongest. Or the smartest. Or the wealthiest. It sounds like far too much.
Yeah.
Slide 10 for me, please. I got some good news if that's where you're landing right now.
Okay, cool.
You don't have to start a movement to be part of a movement.
Yes.
Oh, relief. Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to start a movement to be part of a movement. God isn't asking you to pull out your chisel and your hammer or your mallet and reinvent the wheel. He's not throwing a big stone at you and going, all right, make a wheel. And you're looking at your car going, I already got a wheel right here, so I already did that. He's not asking you to do that. He's not asking you to go out and invent the World Wide Web. I mean, if you can, by all means. But he's not asking us to do that. He's inviting us along into active participation in kingdom building. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just come along into active participation in his kingdom building.
So good.
Slide 11 for me, please. When you're in the right place at the right time with the right response, active participation, then God does the rest. God wants to create a ripple effect through the seeds that you plant today. He wants to create a ripple effect with the seeds that we're planting today.
Yes, Jesus.
He wants to do it. He's not sitting there going, oh, they're asking me again. He's like, I want to do this for you and with you. He wants you and me and us to take part in this whole kingdom thing.
Yes, Jesus.
He wants his people to participate, not spectate.
Mm. So good.
Slide 12 for me. So this morning, church, I'm going to invite you to lean into this. To start.
Yeah.
Like just start. Start where? Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we take a look at some places that we can start? Start praying.
Yeah.
Choose to make prayer your first response, not your last resort.
Good.
It's a bit of a mantra. You should know it by now. We've said it lots of times. Because this is how we have to look at prayer.
Yes.
It's not the last place we go. Mm-hmm. It's the first place. Choose to make prayer your first response, not your last resort. And you know what? Let's be bold with our prayers.
Yeah.
Let's pray in power. Let's get our lowered expectations out of the way when we pray.
Yeah, amen.
Like, let's pray big.
Yeah.
Let's pray for the world.
Yeah.
You can totally pray for your neighbor still, but pray for the world. Ask God to show us, to show you where he's already at work.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him. And then ask him to give you that courage to drop everything so that you can be all in. Because it's going to take some courage. Because you're asking him to come into this. Now you're going to have to put some stuff aside. And that's not easy.
Right.
So ask him for courage so that you can be all in. And then you can follow his lead and jump into action.
Yeah, that's so good.
Start talking. I'm a talker. This one's easy for me. You're like, what? No, you're not, Claudia. I'm not the fastest, I'm not the strongest, I'm the talkiest. Is that even a word? It is now. It's on there now, so it's out there. Share the stories of where you have found yourself. In the right place at the right time. Share those stories. I've told this story countless times about how we got into all our schools at Youth for Christ. We were living in a basement suite, garden suite. We had some neighbors in that cul-de-sac, and they invited us to go to the skate or to the bike park because our kids didn't even have bikes or anything. They're like, hey, we're going to the bike park. You should come along. We're like, yeah, okay, we got nothing. So we go to the bike park, and there they run into some friends that they weren't expecting. Now we're all hanging out. One of those people, he turns around and he goes, hey, how are you? What are you doing here? Oh, my name's blah, blah, blah. And my name's not blah, blah, blah. His name's blah, blah, blah. But I know my name. I still want to see his name. He goes, what are you doing here? Like, why are you in Victoria? And so I told him, hey, here's what's happened. We sold our house and we gave everything up and we moved out to Victoria to work for a nonprofit because we have this crazy idea that we think we can go into schools and mentor and love kids and be around kids and be points of positive contact in kids' lives. And he turns around and he goes, I'm the liaison officer for that district. It's literally my job to find people like you and get them to partner with schools. Wait a minute, what? What's happening here? He didn't even have a business card. He ripped a piece of his gum, like his gum, and he had a pack of gum, and he ripped it, and he put his name and his phone number on it and said, give me a call.
That's awesome.
And so I did. Like, it couldn't have been any more informal. It couldn't have been any weirder. Like, there was nothing about that. Like, I didn't call up and go, hey, District 62, can I get into this? I thought I was going to be knocking on doors for months and months and months. This guy got me into 3 partner schools. And all the relationships that I have with all the principals in my district, not even all the ones that I'm working with, but all of them, almost all of them, I know because of this one moment.
Yeah, that's a big moment, yeah.
This one moment of impact.
Thanks, Lord, yeah.
So start talking.
Yeah, that's good.
If you have those stories, share them. People need to hear them. People need to be inspired and they need to be encouraged.
Yeah, that's good.
When they hear that there are moments of impact available to them.
Yeah, it's good.
So share them.
Yeah.
Start thinking. Next one. Change the way that we think. From how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
To, hey, we go together.
Yeah.
Again, I go back to YFC. This is my life. And so what we've done at Youth for Christ now is we got like 19 staff. So we needed a leadership team within that. So there's 4 of us on that leadership team that kind of oversee and encourage, and we have like our group of staff that we try and do staff care for and all that kind of stuff. And so this is what we have. And so now we're going together. And we're letting all our staff know that we're going together.
Yeah.
At the beginning of every month, I call my group of staff and I'm like, how are you doing? How are things going? How can I pray for you? Hey, tell me a good story. Hey, where can I help? What can we do together? Change the way that you think. How am I going to do this? You want me to change the world? Well, we're going to go together.
Yeah, yeah.
Because knowing that we have a freedom to share our thoughts and our ideas and how we can accomplish more for the kingdom, that's gold.
Yes, that's good.
We refuse to do life and ministry alone.
Yeah.
Guess what? You have that opportunity here. City groups. Oh, there's a plug.
Yeah.
City groups. We have city groups.
Yeah.
Imagine that. We have something set up within the church where we can say, hey, you don't have to do this alone. We're going to go together.
Yeah, that's good.
If you're not in a city group right now, I will encourage you over and over again. Get to one. Like, don't just spectate that. Like, participate in one of those. Ours is gold. For a long time, we weren't allowed to say ours was the best. We got in a little bit of trouble. We might have gotten carried away. But man, we got a good one.
Yeah.
And we laugh together, and we eat together, and then we grow together.
Yeah.
And we look at the world and we go, there's nothing this group can't do. We're going to participate. So change the way you think. Start sharing. Share about the times that you experience God's momentum or His impact in your very own life.
Yeah.
In your very own life. Not the story about what happened to so-and-so over there and the story that you heard this person share, that moment that happened in your own life.
Mm.
When we moved here, I had deep hurts in my heart for the church and church leadership. Like, I remember saying, I'm never doing ministry again. I mean, that changed real quick. But I had deep hurts. And when we came out this way, I knew that I was called to work in ministry. I knew that I was going to be working with teens. I knew we were moving to a beautiful place. I knew that we had a welcoming church. What I didn't know was that God had an even bigger plan than I could imagine for my heart.
Yeah.
And He restored my heart for the church.
Yeah,
and I never even saw it coming. Because
wow.
I didn't even realize that I was still carrying that hurt. But God had a bigger impact moment in my life through the right place at the right time with the right response. And that was the church leadership here. Where they took us on as a couple and as a family. And Pastor Stu, he took me on as a mentor. And he walked in my life, and he spoke in my life, and he was in my life at the right time, at the right moment. And I thought, oh, he's just helping me, and he probably just wants me to, like, preach sometimes. And but what was happening was God had a bigger impact moment for my life.
Yeah,
he was like, this is all good, but I'm going to restore your heart for the church. You don't even know it's coming.
Right, yeah.
One day I woke up, and I'm like, I love the church. Like, I love my church. And I work in a parachurch. We hear a lot of people that have been hurt by the church and want nothing to do with church. And when I go to my retreats and my conferences, there's a lot of criticism of the church and how it's lost its way and how the church doesn't do this and how the church hates and how and this and this and this. And you know what I'll do? I will defend the church till the day I die.
Yeah, that's good.
Because God had something that he was going to do in my life.
Good, yeah.
He had a moment of impact. Share those stories.
Yeah.
Lastly, start doing.
Yeah.
Hey, I got an idea. Get off the bench. Get in the game. Every day we have to choose to commit to taking that next step into action.
Yes.
Like every morning you have to get up and you have to decide,
yeah,
I'm committing today to action.
Good.
Like today I am not spectating.
Mm.
Today I am participating.
So good.
And do that by putting God first in our time, in our energy, in our finances, in our gifts, and in our abilities. Where do you do that? Where you live, and where you work, and where you study, and where you play.
Yeah,
every morning get up and say, I choose.
Choose, yes, sir.
I choose to commit to participate. Slide 13 for me, please. Small thinking leads to small living.
Mm.
You're not even giving yourself a chance. We need to lead the way in irrational generosity, which is one of our wins as a church. Having that mentality, we have to lead the way with irrational generosity. We don't settle for small thinking, and we don't settle for comfort living. What we have to do is we have to have an abundance mindset.
Yes.
And then, don't be afraid of taking risks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might hurt a little here and there, but don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Fear has no place in our lives.
That's good.
A ripple effect. It's bigger than you can imagine.
Mm.
And remember this, you don't have to start a movement to be part of a movement. We just have to see where God's working and then join Him. Our right response is to sow our resources and our time and our talents and our treasure. What happens is when we find ourselves in that right place, right time, right response, what happens is that God does the rest.
Yes, it's good.
God does the rest.
That's good. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yes, Lord.
What he does is, he's making an internal impact that creates more ripple effects.
Yes.
Like the handful of stones, where ripple effect after ripple effect are crashing into each other.
Mm.
I'm excited about what God is doing in City Light Church.
Yeah, yeah.
I am. Yeah. I think about City Light, I'm super excited.
Yes.
I think most of you are super excited. At least a handful of you are excited.
Yeah.
Woo, about what God is doing.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because this is your church and you love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that you love this church as much as I love this church.
Yes.
Guess what? That's another church win. We love our church.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're excited about what's happening. And you've been serving and you've been giving and you've been learning to live like Jesus. You're a participator in what God is doing. There's lots of us like that. This is a church of servers.
Yeah.
We are participators.
Yeah.
But the truth is this. Not everyone's there yet. There are some that just haven't taken that step yet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are still watching from the distance. Some of us just don't feel ready yet.
Yeah.
Some of us feel like we just don't have enough to offer. Whatever that reason is, you found yourself on the bench.
Yeah.
they're watching. But I got some good news for you this morning if you're one of those. Real good news. Each of us has been given an opportunity to join God and join in what He's doing.
So good.
The opportunity is there.
Thanks, Jesus.
Now all you have to do is, like, you have to take this invitation and roll with it.
Yeah.
Like, the ball's in your court now. There's lots of sports here.
Yeah.
I love sports. You have the invitation to participate.
Yeah.
And the ball is in your court this morning.
Yeah.
Now.
Thanks.
Are you going to step out? Are you going to maybe jump on a team? Invest your time, your energy, your financial resources, I don't know, your media skills.
Yeah, it's good.
Your kids' ministry skills.
Yeah.
Your music skills.
Yeah.
Are you going to use your unique gifts and your abilities? Because you have them.
Mm-hmm.
We all have them. It's like 14 for me, please. Before I go on to that, my dad has a lot of sayings. Some of them make a lot of sense when they're translated, some don't. He's got one that I feel super fits where we're at right now, and some of us who are on the bench and we're thinking about it.
Mm.
And we're on the edge of that seat and we're like, ooh, oh, and we're waiting. And when you got your hands tight on the edge of the bench and you're taking a step, but you haven't done it yet. So my dad's got this saying in Spanish. He might appreciate this. He watches it sometimes. Los gallos se ven en la cancha. What? You guys didn't know I could speak Spanish? Isn't that beautiful? That's why English isn't my first language. Los gallos se ven en la cancha. Literal translation is this. Roosters are found on the pitch. Roosters are found in the game. My dad says it all the time. He says it all the time for everything. The one time that he said it and it made the most impact for me was we were watching TV. We were watching Chilean news because that's all they watch when we go there. I don't even know what's happening. But there was like a political race happening. And there was a guy who was a candidate who wanted to run for president. And he goes into one of the poorest neighborhoods in Santiago. Like one of the, like dirt poor. And he goes in and he literally makes this statement to like the camera. As he's going around, he turns around and he goes, I didn't know people lived like this.
Mm-hmm.
What? I didn't know people lived like this. This guy wants to be the president of the country. And he goes into one of the poorest neighborhoods in the capital city. And he says, I didn't know people live like this. My dad turns around and he goes, Los gallos se ven en la cancha.
Yeah.
It means this. Real men are found in the game.
Wow.
How do you not know people live like this?
Yeah.
You should know that if you were in the game. He didn't even know that people could live like this.
Wow.
I'm going to say this. Jesus' followers are found in the game.
Yeah, it's good.
We can't say, I didn't know it could be like this. Because we should know what it's like in the world. Get off the bench. Don't be like this guy. I didn't know people live like this. Shut up. By the way, he didn't win. Surprise. Slide 14 is up. Perfect. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God who is able to, through his mighty power at work within us, through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think.
Yeah.
If we position ourselves in the right place at the right time with the right response, God is going to do immeasurably more than you can ask for.
Yes.
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 Thanks, Jesus.
More than you could ever imagine. And he's going to do it through his people.
Yeah.
He wants to do it through you. All for his glory. All for his glory. Because I don't want us to get it wrong here. We're not doing this for us. We're not doing this so that people will go, "Oh, what a good job you've done, Claudio. Hey, what a great job that City Light Church is doing in the city." It's all for the glory of God. Lizzie had staff. He always has the greatest prayer. He always prays this over and over again. We all have it fairly memorized as to where he goes with his prayers. And he says, "Jesus, everything that we do is so that you would be famous. If nobody ever hears of the programs that we're running, the schools that we're in, the indigenous communities that we're in, if nobody ever hears the name of Youth for Christ, we have won because it's all so that you would be famous, Jesus." This is why we want to do this. This is why we want to get in the game, so that God gets all the glory. Slide 15 for me, please. A ripple effect. It's bigger than you can imagine. God wants to create a ripple effect through the seeds that you're going to plant today.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when you have your Bible degree. Not when you have so much money in the account that you can do stuff. God wants to create a ripple effect through the seeds that City Light is going to plant today.
Thanks, Jesus.
It's a challenge. But it's encouragement. We got what it takes.
Yes.
And when we don't, he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we ready? Are we ready for the ripple effect?
Yes, Jesus.
Hey, let's pray.
Amen. Thanks.